The reading today is from Psalm 19 on page 553 of the Church Bibles, verses 7 to 11. Page 553. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jackie, let's pray as we think about this theme of the Bible together this morning. Father God, we thank you so much for the Bible. Please, by your Holy Spirit, who first inspired it to be written, may you help us understand more about it today, that we may be those who believe your word and follow it with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. Amen. Now, a few weeks ago, we celebrated the 70th anniversary of the Queen, Queen Elizabeth II. And at her coronation on the 2nd of June 1953, the Archbishop of Canterbury presented Elizabeth with a book and said, "We present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords." We present you with a book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. That book that she was presented with was the Bible. It's quite a statement, isn't it? The most valuable thing that this world affords. I mean, even more valuable than vast amounts of money and possessions. In the ancient world, gold was one of the most valuable things there was because it doesn't corrode. And honey, well, that was one of the sweetest things there was. One of the most sweetest natural things. And yet our reading says that Jackie just read to us a moment ago, that the words of the Bible are more precious than gold. They are sweeter than honey. And this has been the experience of millions and millions of people down through history. Do you know, it's the reason that the Bible is the best-selling book of all time by miles and miles and miles. I think it's estimated the Guinness Online Guinness Book of Records says it's between somewhere between 6 and 8 billion. I don't exactly know how many, but somewhere between 6 and 8 billion Bibles are in print. And what's more, not only is the Bible the best-selling book of all time, it's also the best-selling book of the year, every year, again by miles and miles and miles. So what is the Bible exactly? What is it? Well, the Bible is not simply one book. It's actually more like a library of books. In fact, that's what the word Bible literally means in the original language. It means books. And there are 66 books in the Bible in two sections called the Old Testament and the New Testament. It was written over a period of 1,550 years by around 40 different authors from different backgrounds and situations. There are history books, there's poetry books, there's wisdom books. There's prophetic books. There's different styles of writing in the Bible in these different books. And there's lots of stories in the Bible. But all of the stories are telling one big story. The story of the God who made us and loves us and wants us to be in friendship with him forever. But it's not a myth or fairy tale that's made up. No, the most wonderful thing about the big story of the Bible is that it's true. And it takes the whole Bible to tell this story. And right at the centre of the Bible's story is a person. The person of Jesus Christ, whom God sent to be our King and our Rescuer. And every little story in the Bible whispers his name. In one way or another, every story of the Bible speaks and points to us, whispers to us about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's like the key piece in a puzzle, the piece that makes all the other pieces fit together so that you can see a beautiful picture. And behind this story of the Bible, with all its varied authorship, is the authorship of God himself. Because the Bible says that God's Spirit inspired the writers of the Bible to write down the things that God wanted to be written. It's why Christians call the Bible the Word of God. And this is why the Bible is the most valuable thing that this world affords. Because it's God's Word to us. And it's how we hear God speak to us today. So what's God's Word like? Well, it's like a lamp. It's like a lamp. Psalm 119 and Psalm 19 that we read earlier give us that idea. See, lamps help us to see in the dark. Without God's Word shining its light into our lives, we would be in the complete dark about God. Without God's Word shining its light into our lives, we'd not know about the Lord Jesus and his salvation. And we'd not know the way that God wants us to live. But the Bible turns the light on so that we can know God. We can know his grace. We can know how he wants us to live. But the Bible isn't just a book that gives us information. It doesn't just give us information about God and how he wants us to live. It's actually like no other book in that the Bible is in itself powerful and alive. Hebrews says this. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." It's saying that the word of God is like a powerful sword because it penetrates deep into our souls, convicting us of things that are wrong in our lives and showing us God's truth and powerfully working in our lives to restore us. The Bible's life and power is seen in our reading earlier from Psalm 19:2, because it says that the word of God revives the soul. The word of God revives the soul. That means it brings spiritual life to us. It means the Bible is a bit like a spiritual defibrillator. You know, defibrillators bring people back to life. And God's word is like a spiritual defibrillator, reviving people back into life with God. Our reading from Psalm 19 said that it's also powerful to make people wise, and it has power to fill people's hearts with joy. Do you want life with God? Do you want to know spiritual life? Do you want to have true wisdom and have your heart filled with joy? Then the Bible is what we need. It's powerful to achieve what God wants for us. So the Bible is a bit like a lamp, but the Bible is also a bit like a Swiss Army knife. I wonder if you realise that. The Bible's a bit like a Swiss Army knife. See, Swiss Army knives are amazing things. They seem to have everything that you want for what you need to be doing. Now, my brother, somewhat famously, once refurbished his entire living room pretty much using just a Swiss Army knife. You know, it's got a saw, it's got a plier, it's got pliers on it, it's got screwdrivers, it's got all sorts of tools. And he literally did the whole of his living room, and I think the staircase as well, with a Swiss Army knife. It even had a pen in it so that he could do the crosswork during his coffee break. So if you're refurbishing your house, all you need is a Swiss Army knife, nothing else at all. Now, the Bible promises to have everything you need in order to know God and to know how to live for him. You see, Paul says that the word of God thoroughly equips us for everything we need. He says it thoroughly equips the man of God for every good work. So the Bible is a bit like the Swiss Army knife of spiritual things. Everything God wants you to know, everything we need to know, is in this book that we've been given. The Holy Scriptures, the Bible. So it's a bit like a lamp. It's a bit like a Swiss Army knife. Well, what should our response be to this powerful book, the most valuable book that this world affords? Well, just imagine for a moment you receive a handwritten letter from the Queen. It's personally written in her hand. It's addressed to you in by name. It would be very strange, wouldn't it? In fact, very rude if you never actually opened it to read what she'd written to you. How much more so if we never bothered to read what God has written to us? And that is why the first right response to the Bible is that we should read it. Get to know what God has said in it. So children, if God has said something to us, he wants us to know it. So ask your parents, ask your mum and dad, your gran and grandma to read the Bible to you so that you can get to know God. Keep coming to church each week, because here we learn more about the Bible each week in children's groups and as adults. And if we're adults, we should be opening the Bible each day to get to know him better. We can, if you're not sure how to read the Bible on your own, I can recommend, and others in the church can recommend different notes that may be helpful to you. If anyone would like help in reading the Bible on their own, please speak to me or afterwards, or just another member of the church. Ask how they go about reading God's word. Of course, there's growth groups as well that can help us get to know God through the scriptures too. But all of us, the first response really should be to find out what God has to say in his word, to be reading it. And if you can't read, you can always get the Bible as an audio book. It's free online and you can listen to its words. So the first response is to read it. The second response should be, it is to believe what it says. See, the Bible is full of truths about God and promises that he's made. And God wants us to believe what he said to us. To believe what he's told us about his son Jesus and what he's done to save us. To believe at the right ways that he says are for living. To believe his promises for our lives and our future. Just imagine if the Queen did write this letter to you, and imagine that in the letter she invited you to Buckingham Palace for tea. How wonderful that would be. But of course you'd have to believe her. Otherwise, you wouldn't even bother turning up. God doesn't want us to be in doubt about his word in the Bible. He wants us to believe it so that we can receive all the blessings that he has in it for us. So our response to the Bible should be to read it, to get to know it. Secondly, to believe it. And thirdly, God wants us to live it. Jesus, you may well remember, taught that it wasn't enough just to simply hear God's word. We also need to put it into practice. And Jesus taught that a person who puts his word into practice is like a wise man who built his house on rock. When the storms came, that house stood firm. But the person who hears his words and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And so when the storms came, his house fell flat. God's word is to be read, it's to be believed, but it's to be lived out. Because when we obey what God says in the Bible, it's building our lives on the best foundation possible, and we will be able to withstand whatever comes our way in life. So read the Bible, believe the Bible, and live out the Bible so that we can receive the blessings that God has for you and me in his word. Let's pray together now. Father, we do thank you for this wonderful book that we have in a language that we can understand. Thank you that it's been faithfully passed down through the generations. And thank you that it teaches us everything we need to know about you and life with you in your world. Oh, Father, please give us a greater hunger to get to know your word, that we might experience it as the lamp that we need for our path, that we might experience it as sweeter than honey in our lives, that we might be able to say, too, that this is the most valuable gift that this world affords. Because you, the living God, have spoken to us your life-giving word. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen.